Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Mujahat Ali.
And Waj, what is on your good mind this week as we try to work our way, muster our way to hopefulness, to a sense of reasonableness, fighting against fascism, the rise of Trump, Trumpism, and all of the things?
Danielle, being the much more busy of the two, I'm a middle-aged dad who drives a minivan and has three kids. And Danielle's like, I've got meetings and plans. And I'm like, what are those? And so this is going to be, usually we keep this 30, 35 minutes. This is going to be a tasty, bite-sized, 25-minute version of Democracy-ish. And so I had two things on my mind. Mm-hmm. One of them, because it just bothers me. And I got into a little tiff with MAGA, who that was after me for about the last 3 days, and also some otherwise intelligent people who I think know better. Trump's unhinged rally, where, in addition to many things, he started off by praising the January 6th insurrectionists. Mm-hmm. There was an anthem, a different anthem, sung by these traitors in this unhinged speech, which we've already forgotten about now. We're recording this on Wednesday. He casually mentioned that some immigrants aren't human. Mm-hmm. And by the way, let's remind folks that he's also used Hitler's language of vermin and that they're poisoning our blood and has repeated it even mm-hmm. after he was told that it was used by Hitler. He said that if he doesn't win, there won't be another election. And then he was talking about, allegedly he was talking about the auto industry. And then as he was talking about the auto industry and threatening and warning what would happen if Democrats win, he said it'd be a bloodbath. And then he pivots for our country and then pivots back. And this was the big news. And then, of course, MAGA throws sand in the gears and says, oh, no, Danielle. Mm-hmm. He just meant it metaphorically. And then all these establishment folks who literally have not learned anything in the past 8 years got angry at the rest of us. Come on now, guys. Come on. There's a lot more you can get them on. But he meant about the auto industry. Come on. Both sides, be fair. And I'm sitting here thinking, am I the only one living in the upside down? Is this not the man who incited an insurrection? Is this not the man who literally has a criminal case against him? Is this not the man who encouraged his MAGA supporters to beat up protesters? Is this not the man whose base is right now threatening the judges who are part and parcel of this attempt of institutions to hold them accountable? Is this not the man who is promising bedlam if he doesn't win? Is this not the man who asked his cabinet, hey, can I shoot them, these peaceful BLM protesters? Can we just shoot them? Is this not the man who cleared them out? Remember that? So he could get his photo op. Is this not the man who has literally caused chaos and dysfunction and whose followers have tried to commit acts of terror against any of us who stand up against him? So why are we not putting this in the context? And why the F should I give him the benefit of the doubt? That's one of the stories that are on top of my mind.
You know, let me tell you something about that rundown. We can just clip that cue and let it run. Let that run on
repeat.
That was
top of mind also.
That was just hot off of Waj's dome and blazing. Because you just gave the last, 8 years in 60 seconds. Is this not the man? The question is, why? Does corporate mainstream media continue to give this man that you just riddled off all of the things? Those were not hypotheticals.
No.
Those were all of the things that Donald Trump has said, all of the things that he's done, all of the things that he has championed since he came down that escalator in 2015. And I think that the fact is that corporate media continues to give him the benefit of the doubt because they see a cash cow, and that's all that they will ever see. And that's all that they ever want. Is they want the clicks, they want the views, and that's what Donald Trump is. He is the show to end all shows. The funny thing is, as we are taping this, Donald Trump has now decided to sue NBC and to sue George Stephanopoulos for defamation because of facts that George Stephanopoulos offered up in an interview with Nancy Mace, where he said, how do you stand as a survivor of sexual assault with a man that has been found guilty of sexual assault? How do you do that? And the fact is that more reporters don't do that, don't make those moves, don't call Donald Trump out because they are afraid of being sued. They are afraid of being said to be opinionated and, you know, liberal and not following the books. And the fact is that if you were to report on Donald Trump with just the facts, the headlines would read, twice impeached, four times indicted, charged 91 times, man found guilty of sexual assault, liable for fraud, right? Running for president of the United States. You would just read his resume.
But,
and the fact is that we are here in this moment because mainstream corporate media has not read his resume, because Merrick Garland apparently has not read Donald Trump's resume and waited 2 years, two full years to get a special counsel in to run up against the presidential election to force America into the binary decision between fascism and democracy, when many of those same people can't even spell democracy, let alone know what the fuck it means. So I think that, you know, when we part and parcel and get pushed into the trap, the sand trap, as you said, of the Republican Party to say, well, he didn't mean this and he didn't mean that. I don't give a fuck what Donald Trump said in his speech last week. Just roll with the inauguration speech that he did, right? Where he talked about America being in a death spiral and there being blood in the streets. That's the same shit that he said on his inauguration day. Right? So let us not pretend that Donald Trump doesn't mean what he says, that this 77-year-old man is somehow still maturing and knows not what he does. From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
No, 70, I think he's 77, you're going to turn 78. And you know, the MAGA trolls, they've become very sophisticated, especially on some websites like X, which seems to be like, I forgot, and I tweeted this, I forgot this is now a playground for MAGA extremists and white nationalists. That's what Elon Musk has made it. They're completely emboldened. And they dug, Danielle, and they found me using the word bloodbath like 4 years ago during a basketball game. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not the leader of a country or running to be commander in chief. And I'm not in charge of a violent authoritarian cult. And I haven't told people like the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by. And I haven't told violent Nazis and white supremacists that they're very fine people. And I don't have four criminal cases in four different states. And one of them in which is my role in inciting a violent insurrection where that same base took my words literally and seriously, and some of them with weapons took over the Capitol, where both Republicans and Democrats, the same Republicans who now kiss his butt, were cowering in fear, thinking that they were going to be killed, and where his former vice president, Mike Pence, some big news, he said he will not endorse him. They were hunting Mike Pence, and they were hunting Nancy Pelosi, and one of them couldn't get Nancy Pelosi, so months later, he went to her house in San Francisco and opened the door and found her husband, Paul Pelosi, and almost killed him. I'm not that guy. My bad. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just like him. The context, you have to put in the context. I did put in the context. And the context is I see the leader of an increasingly violent, anti-democratic, authoritarian movement that wants power by any means necessary. And what makes our institutions uncomfortable is that it is not an extreme minority. It is the majority of the Republican Party, folks. Mm-hmm. A majority of the Republican Party, poll after poll, believes the big lie. A majority of the Republican Party, according to, I believe it was a CBS poll that we mentioned on this show, they trust Donald Trump more than right-wing media, their family members, their parents, their priests. It is a cult. And when I saw that the clips in full context of his rally, they loved it when he was calling these immigrants not human. They loved it when he was being cruel to, quote unquote, their enemies, which are his enemies. That's what an authoritarian does. All of my enemies are your enemies. All of my friends are your friends. And so what we're dealing with, Danielle, is a radical movement that you and I, our frustration, which has been expressed on this show, is that if they were black and if they were brown, and I tweeted this, if there was a black or brown Muslim leader who said the exact same thing as Trump and his base applauded, what would happen, Danielle, to that base?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And to that leader?
I couldn't hear you because they would be in jail. They would be under a jail. No, actually, they wouldn't be able to hear you because they would be dead. Right. Like, you know, the fact is what Donald Trump presents to America and to Americans is absolutely the worst, most abhorrent part of who America is. And the thing is that, you know, because we have failed to educate this country on its founding, on its own genocidal, homicidal behaviors throughout the course of history that have wiped out indigenous people, that have enslaved populations of people, that then after that enslaving push them into 100+ years of apartheid. And because we refuse to tell the truth, right, we have a Donald Trump. You see, when they say that if you do not learn your history, you will be destined to repeat it, we forever repeat history in the United States and are in the throes of that repetition of world history as it's playing out with Donald Trump cosplaying Hitler, is because we refuse to tell the truth about who America is. There are 30 to 40% of this country is wholeheartedly aligned with Donald Trump as they were wholeheartedly aligned with the Confederacy, right? And because we did not tell the truth and we like to lie and spin the PR around America being the land of liberators and equity and justice, we are stuck in this place of, oh my God, how could 30 to 40% of the country think that it's okay to refer to other human beings as animals? Well, these are the descendants of the same people who walked past my ancestors as they were on an auction block while they went to go buy hats and carrying fresh flowers, while they watched women beaten and raped you know, and picnics that were referred to as picnics because that is where lynchings happened. And they got dressed in their Sunday best. So why are we in this place? Because we refuse to teach history. And the very same history that they are working to remove from our classrooms right now. Why? So that we can pretend that all of this shit is new. It is not. We're here because Donald Trump, much like in the way that he has been able to skirt the law, to not pay taxes, to not ever be found guilty of anything, has always been able to just utilize the weak spots, right? The shadows in our country that we refuse to look at and refuse to fix. And he's been able to benefit from them. That's why we're here.
You know, the past reflects the present. It's all connected. And unless we confront it, the demon and evil of white supremacy that has infected and invaded all of our institutions, this is going to be a remake and it's going to be a reboot. And that actually takes me to the second thing that's been on my mind, Danielle. I don't know if you followed this controversy, and I think it's worth mentioning and talking about it. Jonathan Glazer is a director. He won for Zone of Interest at the Oscars for Best International Feature. And he was the only person who said something about what's happening in Gaza. And I want to read his quote, and I want to tell you all what's happening right now. He said this: all of our choices we made to reflect and confront us in the present. Excuse me. His movie, by the way, is about the Holocaust, but specifically what's happening in Auschwitz, the death camps. And right next to the death camps, the whole movie takes place in this idyllic garden and a home of the commander, of the person who's in charge of Auschwitz. You never get to see what's happening in Auschwitz, but you just hear it, Danielle, for the whole movie, right? And it's about complicity and dehumanization. And when he got the award, he said, it's not about the past, it's about the present. He says, the movie is not to say, look at what they did then, rather, quote, look at what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation, which has led to conflict for so many innocent people, whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza. All the victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist? As a result of that, which I thought was very humane and empathetic, he has now been blacklisted, boycotted. Yep. And as of yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, Danielle, it was kind of big news, over 450 Jewish creatives and professionals denounced Jonathan Glazer in this kind of unhinged open letter where it was signed by a lot of powerful folks and a lot of like nobodies. And they said, quote, we refute our Jewishness being hijacked for the purpose of drawing a moral equivalence between a Nazi regime that sought to exterminate a race of people and an Israeli nation that seeks to avert its own extermination. And then they put occupation in quotes. And like, I'm not even going to read the whole letter because it's really unhinged. And so what does it say about this moment where one artist speaks up about what is clearly happening? And essentially, as we've talked about on this program, so many people have spoken up, are being blacklisted, silenced. And the rest of us are saying, yo, if they're doing to Jonathan Glazer, a Jewish man who made a movie about the Holocaust, what about the rest of us who speak out against complicity?
I mean, that's the point, right? The point is that, you know, I don't know how people feign oppression, in all honesty, when you have the ability to blacklist other individuals, when you have the ability to turn off water, cut off food, cut off life support, and then want to turn around and say that you are somehow the oppressed one. That's not how oppression works, right? It isn't. And that is not to denounce anything that has happened in history. It is to very much ground us in the fucking present. That if a man, a Jewish man who is doing a work of art about history and the Holocaust is now told to shut the hell up, right? Is now told that his experience does not matter and his thoughts don't matter, and to silence him, like, what are you doing? You know, like, what to what extent
especially when he's being empathetic to all people.
The point is that they don't want empathy for all people, right? They want empathy for some people, right? And disdain for others. That's the goal here. And that's what makes me so disgusted. But then people want to say, well, why didn't more people in Hollywood speak out? Because they have homes and mortgages and, you know, and a livelihood that they're trying to protect. That's why, right? Because unless the whole of them got together and got on the stage, right? You can't then think that you're going to take that stand and have no repercussions happen, right? And so that's the problem here. And that's how you get entire genocides that take out millions of people. And they're like, and the world was silent. Because when the individuals try to pop up their head and say, wait, look, what about all humanity? Right? They're stripped of every bit of power and their microphone and their voice and everything, and made an example of.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
And just the irony is that the whole movie, Danielle, I don't know if you've seen it, but I strongly recommend people see it. It's a very well-made movie. It's very powerful. He says the movie's not about the past. It's about the present. It's about dehumanization, is what happens to a people who allow dehumanization against another. It's a warning. It's about complicity. And you see this happening with the Republican Party, where people didn't speak up, and now you have an authoritarian, a completely vulgarian, bankrupt, violent individual, and we, our institutions, because they covet power, proximity to power and money, are still going with the flow, not learning from history, not learning what happened during fascism in Europe, not learning what happened during Hitler's Nazi Germany, where, you know, the rich folks and the bureaucrats, they were just paving the road, Danielle. Hey, he's not going against us. Hey, think about the bottom line. And then what happened? And here we are, and artists aren't speaking up, Danielle. And I hope artists speak up, and, you know, and there's a lot of folks, a lot of Jewish professionals who denounce this letter and are speaking up for him. But if people don't speak up, that in itself is complicity. That in itself is slow walking to your own demise. Because if they come after Glazer, they're going to come after you. If they come after Mike Pence, who was like the whitest, most conservative man on earth, what makes you think, oh, Republican, oh, conservative, they won't go after you? You have to be lockstep. And this is something that I believe in our show we have tried our best to model, is that we will speak up. We could be wrong. You could disagree with us. That's fine. But we will speak up. And I felt compelled to talk about these two issues that were on top of mind, because I feel like I'm living in the upside down, Danielle, but morally, I strongly feel I'm on the right side here, the right side of history.
And, you know, and here's the thing that I'll remind you while I remind myself and our listeners, which is that we've been here before. Like, we haven't been here, right? But our ancestors have been here before. Jim Crow lasted for 100 years. Before that was 400 years of slavery, right? Like, we've been in wars before. where millions of people have lost their lives. While we talk about Gaza, no one talks about the Congo, right? Where millions of people have been killed and displaced, right? So what I say is we raise our voices, we have these conversations, we fight where we can, we vote when it's necessary, which is in every election, and we try and move, right, the ball a little bit further for the next generations. But we are at a place right now where that ball, right, is being pushed backwards to a places that are too dark that we've never even discussed, that we've never even seen, because that's how people have worked to hide this country and the world's disgusting, depraved legacy. And so we have an opportunity in this moment to do what we can to save this country so that it can be perfected and continue in the job of perfecting with each generation. But that's where we are. This election is not between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It is between, you know, Donald Trump, Trumpism, and American democracy and world democracy. That's it. Thank you for listening thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I am Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Lee.
And we will be back next week if, in fact, we have a country left. Inshallah.